I'm Georgie Crawford and I'm a health coach.
And I'm Claire Solan and I'm a life coach.
On Soul Sisters, we get together to navigate the challenges that life throws our way by sharing the wisdom we've learned and, most importantly, having fun too.
The Soul Sisters podcast is a Good Glow production brought to you with thanks to Colgate, the number one toothpaste brand in Ireland and the world.
We've partnered with Colgate because they are the champions of optimism. They inspire and empower people to be the hero of their own lives. They are committed to improving oral health and believe that everyone deserves a future to smile about.
Colgate says our smile is our strength, and we couldn't agree more. So all this season on Soul Sisters, we're going to be sharing our reasons to smile.
Hello and welcome to Soul Sisters.
I'm doing an impression of you, sorry.
Hello and welcome to Soul Sisters.
The hay fever season.
I mean, I'm just glad that I'm not as physically ill as I was last week. So now it's over to you, Soul Sister. Tell me
you
about
hay
fever.
You sound a lot better.
I am a lot better.
That's so good. I even noticed when we were talking during the week that you just had this extra little pep in your step. And I was like, oh, she's healing.
Oh, hallelujah to the healing. So as I heal, which I'll tell you all about, tell me about your hay fever suffering. Is this it's obviously a yearly thing.
Yeah, May and June every year, like clockwork, I get struck down with the hay fever. I have a little technique. So sometimes if I'm having a really bad day of hay fever, if I take a short little 20 minute nap, I wake up and my hay fever is gone. It like resets me. When I was in school, and I suffered from it my whole life, I used to say to my friends when I was in the middle of like an attack, I would say, I need to go talk to my hay fever. And I would go over to a corner and I would center. Now I know what I was doing, which is like meditating.
Wow.
Or like calming my brain down and relaxing. And then I would come out of the hay fever attack and feel so much calmer, and I wouldn't sneeze for like another hour.
That's phenomenal. And what age were you, like in primary school?
No, I would have been in like first year, second year, but everyone used to go, oh, Georgie's talking to her hay fever again. Little did I know I was practicing mindfulness when I was 13.
Oh. So, you know, now that I go straight to Louise Hay, you can heal your life when I hear of physical ailments. So do you want to know what the emotional?
No. Okay, go on, tell me.
Hay fever, according to Louise Hay, is emotional congestion, fear of the calendar, May and June, a belief in persecution and guilt. See, do you think you might be emotionally, you are emotionally congested, aren't you?
There's a lot going on for me this week, Claire. And I wanted to tell you about a massage that I had on Tuesday out in Druids Glen, right? So there's this Irish company called Ground Wellbeing, and they have gone into Druids Glen, and it's founded by this amazing Cork lady called Peggy, and she invited myself and Claire McKenna in. We all know Claire McKenna from News Talk, and she's got her own amazing podcast. So myself and Claire went out. Now, I have been avoiding Claire McKenna for months. And I'm going to tell you why. Not just Claire McKenna, but all of my friends. So I have my circle. I have, you know, my family, Jamie's family, Audrey and you, right? And that's kind of who I've been communicating with since Ukraine.
Okay.
Because I know that if I meet up with someone, and I am an open book, I love when people ask me how I am and, you know, how the surrogacy situation is going on. I love that. So I knew that if I was going to meet up with someone like outside of my immediate circle, that they'd ask me about it. So I have been running away from people since February because I don't want to talk about it.
Right.
So I went out on Tuesday and I knew that this treatment was an hour and a half long. And I knew that I wanted to revisit how I was feeling about the Ukraine surrogacy situation. So I went in and I was face down. My face was through one of those holes. And I started bawling, crying about 20 minutes into the massage.
Wow.
It was an energizing massage. So it was like it was putting new life into me. And I was crying so much that I thought that the person giving me the massage might be able to hear my tears hitting off the floor. So like I have been avoiding stillness because there's something in particular about what I'm going through that's been rooted deep within me that I haven't been able to talk about. And that is, if we start the process with Canada, which we are trying to do at the moment, that I will be sending different embryos to Canada. So our 6 embryos are in Slovakia, and luckily we have some in Dublin. So if we were to start the process with Canada, I will be sending a different embryo. And I really want that. My Ukrainian embryo, because I feel an attachment. So I took the opportunity in the 90 minutes to think about my other embryos and kind of like open my mind to the different journey. So after the massage, and it was, look, we all avoid stillness sometimes and we keep ourselves numb because it's so hard to think about things sometimes. But I knew I'd feel better after I thought about it. So I went and I met, myself and Claire met Sinead Dehora afterwards, who's our mutual friend, who's an intuitive healer. And she goes, how are you? And I said, oh, Sinead, like, Sinead has really helped me over the last year. So if I'm feeling really helpless, I ring her and she gives me some guidance. And I said, oh, I need to talk to you about something. And I explained the situation, and she said something that really helped. She said, you need to think of your next baby as a spirit. And it's like that baby is just sitting on a wall, you know, backstage, waiting, waiting for the right time. And the soul of your baby will be the same, whether it's, you know, the Ukrainian embryo or the embryo you sent to Canada. And that really helped me open my mind to the plan B and to trust the journey. And that's the power of sitting in the stillness, thinking things through, and also meeting up with the people you're avoiding because you don't want to go there. Because you know in those moments you're going to have to face it. But actually, when I faced it, I drove home and I felt so much better. So that's my, what did you say? I was emotionally.
You're emotionally congested.
Yeah. So that's where I am. It's a bit chaotic in my heart and, you know, how I'm feeling. But I feel a little bit stronger. I also, you know, we can talk about it now. Because the show is over. Thank you so much to everyone who came to the show. We're recording this obviously in advance of the show. The show was last night. Thank you so much to everyone for coming. But speaking to Rosanna Davison at the show about surrogacy, and it's people like her, you know, that keep you going. Someone who's walked down the path before you will help you. So anyway, I just wanted to say that we do avoid the stillness because we're afraid of what it might bring up. But, you know, in the stillness, you get the answers. Tell us about your week.
Oh, I am feeling significantly better than I was when I spoke to you last week. And pain is a great teacher. So I've written down a few lessons that I've learned. thank you to everybody who came to see me, who knocked on my door, who called, who WhatsApped and sent me some beautiful DMs. I felt really seen, and I felt the compassion, the deep concern and compassion from people all around me. And I felt guilty for a split second, because I wouldn't want to feel any longer than that, that I haven't, a bit like you, I've been running away from that connection. And so this illness has really helped me to invest in people again. I've never really rested before. Like I realize that now. I've had nearly two weeks off work, and my body has rested properly for the first time probably ever in my whole life. I didn't realize the extent to which I was living in stress and how much that could manifest physically in my body. So I have, you know, really taken time to acknowledge that and to make changes. People living with chronic pain and illness, I have thought about you for 2 weeks solid. Elderly people, you know, I'm walking so slowly. I can't walk quickly anymore. I was following the doctor into her surgery room the other day, and she took off down the corridor and she came back out and she was like, "Oh God, I'm really sorry. I didn't realize how quickly I walk." And I said, "No, don't worry. I just can't walk fast, you know, at the moment." But everything has slowed down for me. And even though there's been moments of real darkness, I've had hospital appointments and really invasive treatments, I feel the better of it. And I can feel the benefit of the illness. People caring for me is amazing. I've had some friends come over and make dinner, and to hear somebody in my kitchen making my next meal is like, wow.
Oh my God, Claire. Like, the fact that you even say that is so powerful for people to understand, you know, how important that is.
Yeah. And how, you know, I've just had a real independent, like fiercely independent attitude to living. And then when I was just lying on my bed and I could hear my friend Carla making the meal, I was like, oh my God, this is so heavenly. And then she did the washing up, and I was just so grateful, so grateful. My attitude to things has changed. Gratitude is massive. You know, gratitude for the fact that this, all things do end, all things, challenges and hardships do come to an end, and I can feel myself coming out of it. But also, my attitude to things like Instagram has changed. You know, I have spent my whole, as long as Instagram's been around, you know, my friend Laura and I often do this, but like, right, putting on a ban, putting on an alarm, you know, making sure I'm not on it for too long. But I've realized that it has a softer side. It has a healing and helpful side. And if I can find, I found my way there this week. So people were sending me DMs of people to follow with great advice. And I was looking at accounts like Emma Louise Connolly, who's married to Proudlock.
Oh, yeah.
The Greedy Model is her account, and she makes the most beautiful food and food videos. And our good pal, Roz Purcell.
Oh.
You know, and I was just looking and I was going, here you go. I'm going to give you your favorite line back at you, George. I convinced myself I was the kind of person who didn't cook beautiful, colorful, healthy meals for themselves. I just said I wasn't that person. And then I just realized I just got out of the habit of it. I've just lived alone. I've worked too hard. I haven't made space and time for nutrition and eating well. And as a consequence of that, my body and my immune system is low and struggling. And I know the answer to get me out of this is to embrace healthy eating. I'm a really creative person. Why can't I go into the kitchen and create something for myself?
Oh, that's amazing. I wanted to tell you that I have, have you ever grown your own food?
No.
So Jamie does it in our house because, well, you know, I just couldn't be bothered.
Actually, I wasn't expecting you to say that.
I love to eat it.
Yeah.
Jamie's really into the garden and things like that. So the other day he brought in this like tray. It's like a large kind of lasagna dish.
Yeah.
Plastic tray. And in it, it was just full of compost, he said, and spinach seeds. So we put it on the windowsill in the kitchen. And now we have spinach. Like a week later, it is growing in our kitchen.
What?
Organic, homegrown spinach.
It's that easy.
It's that easy. Out the back, he's got like a little, you know, like if you lived in an apartment and you couldn't have like a vegetable patch.
Yeah.
You can get like little flower pots. He's growing raspberries, tomatoes. So it's so easy to do. So I just wanted to bring that up on Sales this week that like, you know, go down to Woody's, get a little bag of compost, get your spinach seeds, get your little plastic container. I'll post a photo of it on my Instagram this week. Stick it on your windowsill and you've got your own spinach. And it's, and you know what blew my mind this week? The spinach is all like leaning towards the light. It's leaning towards the sun. So it's almost growing sideways.
Wow.
And I was like, that is such a message for me that like, it's in our nature to lean towards the light.
Yes.
Even when we're, you know, the darkness is coming for us, trust that deep down within that your soul will bring you to the light again. You know, even in those rock bottom moments, it's in us, it's in our DNA to look for the light.
Yes.
And even if you can't see it, it's there and you will be brought to it again.
Oh, I love that. It just reminds me of Martha Beck. Go towards what makes you warm. You're getting warmer, you're getting warmer.
Yes.
The little spinach seeds are feeling the heat through the window. Oh, what a great metaphor for life. And yes, joy is within us.
Did you hear about the two Johnny's catfish thing?
Now, talk to me about this. There's sometimes that I feel very disconnected from the Emerald Isle. And my friend said to me, have you heard about the GAA catfish, the GA catfish? And I said, no. What?
It is off the wall. I had a pain in my face from listening to their two podcasts yesterday because I was concentrating so hard on what they were saying. I have many thoughts about it. First of all, that this girl is a person, you know, and like a pylon to me is like the worst thing on the planet.
Yeah.
So like what happened is awful. But the way every single person on this island is talking about it. Do you think you've ever been catfished?
So in the loosest possible sense, yes, I have felt catfished on dating apps.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And like, it's something that I would always have been a bit critical of fellas because I'd be like, oh, they've just got like stuff. So there's two things about fellas' photos on dating apps, right? Some of them are really outdated. And the lads no longer look like that. And then the other thing is lads take these really weird selfies where they're standing in a mirror and they're looking really sinister with the phone, just looking. One guy in particular who I met at London Bridge at the London Bridge station, and oh bless him, he was an American guy. He was just tiny. He was just really, really small. So he kind of looked like a child with a backpack. So I must have walked by him like four times because I'm like, that's not him. It couldn't be him. It's no way. This guy had like muscly arms and whatever. And eventually he gets like, hey, are you Claire? And I just turned around and I went, I'm in for the story. I'm here for the story. Because, you know, when you're going on a date, it's either one or the other. Like you're there for love or you're there for the story. So
what happened?
We went off to London Bridge grind and had...
What's that?
A couple of... Yeah, actually, sorry. It sounds a bit weird. It's coffee shop. It's coffee shop.
Okay.
So we just went and we had a really awkward, probably hour and a half, where we ate and drank and then went our separate ways. That's the noise I made all the way back to the train.
So my mother-in-law, Hazel, who is just a brilliant person. I love her so much. She said to me 2 weeks ago, "So did you eat your aubergine?" I was like, "We've got a soul sister." And she's been sending me aubergine recipes and it's like, "Now I hope you're going to try it, as in like make it and let me know what you think." And the aubergine chat just isn't slowing down for me.
Crazy.
I got this message that made me burst out laughing the other day from this girl. She sent me a DM of obviously a tweet that had gone viral. And she's like, "I really think this will make you laugh." And the tweet says, "I went to a baby group yesterday where the babies had to pick toy vegetables. And the very enthusiastic group leader said, 'Everyone grab an aubergine.' And I said, 'That's how we got into this mess in the first place, am I right?' And nobody laughed." Yes to the people who are brave enough to make jokes in awkward situations. This season of Soul Sisters is brought to you with thanks to Colgate, who believe everyone deserves a future to smile about. So, Claire, very interested to hear what made you smile this week.
So we know that I have been a little bit under the weather and I have been literally camped out at doctor surgeries over the last 2 weeks. So I left the doctors yesterday and I thought to myself, wow, I actually don't feel as badly as I usually do when I'm walking out of this surgery. So I'm going to do something that's going to make me smile to celebrate. So I spotted TK Maxx across the road and I thought to myself, as I am now on this new journey, this new path to creating food for myself and better nutritional meals, I felt inspired. And I thought, you know, one of the ways that I could really get inspired is buying some beautiful crockery to put my beautiful food in. So I went in to the homeware section and I found the most beautiful bowls, like those Spanish or Italian inspired bowls, one for a salad, one I'm going to fill with 9 lemons.
And
then one of those little trays you put out when people come over and you put olives in and you put your charcuterie in or your cheese or, you know, your hummus. And I packed them all up into my bag and I headed off home. And honestly, I smiled all the way back.
Oh, I love that. As well as being the champions of optimism, Colgate provides many dental care options that have clinically proven benefits for you and your family, available in all major Irish supermarkets and pharmacies.
There's a lovely saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. For me this week, it was more a case of, when the patient is ready, the healer appears.
Oh, I love that, Claire.
Yeah.
Write that down. Make it into a meme. Stick it on Instagram.
So I have a friend called Sarah Tobin, an old friend from our DCU days. 20 years ago, we both did business studies in DCU and we got into the course.
You did business studies?
I know.
I can't even imagine you.
Isn't that wild that I did business studies? Do you know what it was as well? And I always think about this, and I always, if I meet people who are in and around their teens, I just say to them, listen, believe me, I did a business degree because I was good at business studies. But that has no bearing on future me. So, you know, go to university if you want. Don't go to university if you don't want to. Because either way, along the way, you'll probably change your mind.
Did you do anything after business studies?
So I specialized in marketing in the last year and I sat there and I can remember sitting there going, oh no. So I got into TV straight after that. I started working behind the scenes in TV. And then while I was in TV, I did a little diploma in journalism, which I absolutely flew in Dublin Business School. And as I was doing...
I did journalism in DBS.
Did you?
I loved it.
And so did I. I absolutely flew it. And I thought to myself, oh, this is what doing the right course is all about.
All of a sudden, you're a genius.
Yes. For 3 years.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. For 3 years, I sat out in that campus in DCU, but not a Scooby what was going on.
Oh, I did tourism marketing with French for 3 years.
Oh, in DIT, was it?
Yeah. I was like, got my offer from the college thing. And I was in work that morning and I brought it to work. I worked in a restaurant and I was standing with my friend Layla. And I was like, okay, I've got to open this letter now and see where I'm, if I'm off to UCD or Trinity. And I opened up the thing and I was like, what the hell is this? I was like, what the hell is called De Brunga Street? And she started laughing her ass. She's like, it's called Brewer Street, Georgie. I was like, where is it? Where am I off to? So anyway, I went in to do this tour as a marketing with French. I didn't have a word of French.
Oh, no.
And I went home to my mum and I was like, I need to quit. And she's like, you're not quitting. Like, you have to stay in college. And then I did another year and she came to me and she said, Georgie, I was wrong. Wow. I was wrong to say you can't quit. What is it that you want to do? And I was like, well, I love, you know, writing and I love, you know, radio. And she was like, okay, let's sit down. We sat down. We got to this journalism degree in DBS. And I was like, I think I'd love that.
Yeah.
And I went in and I was one of the best in the class. Never missed a lecture.
Wow. That's and that's amazing from your mum as well, actually, because it's really old school. You know, it's just been beaten into them in the previous generations. You know, I don't think we'll do it to our kids, but, you know, this, you have to stay. You've made a commitment and it's just rubbish, isn't it? It doesn't.
Yeah.
Like if you've made it through school or even done a bit of school, that's as much as commitment as you need. Now it's time to find your passion.
Yeah. But if it wasn't for my mum sitting down and like talking me through it and like paying for me to go to DBS, I wouldn't be here.
Yes.
Doing this. So anyway, interrupted you. So you met Sarah in DCU.
Met Sarah in DCU years ago and she went off into a corporate job, ended up in London, and she realised, I was following her on Instagram, and she just realised in the middle of the corporate madness of life that she hated what she did and that she wanted to do something completely different. And she was very spiritual, always has had spirituality in her life. So in August 2020, she became an EFT tapping practitioner, emotional freedom technique tapping. So Sarah found tapping when she suffered from PTSD following the death of her little daughter, Alice.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She's been practicing for 7 years now since then and has just become an EFT tapping trainer. So this girl is more than qualified, you know, and she's such a lovely person. She always was in college. And when I reconnected with her, she also has a podcast called Tapping Into. So I was always really curious. And as I was feeling pretty rotten this week, Sarah had said, look, anytime you like, I'll give you a complimentary session and, you know, just let me know. So I got in touch with her and I said, look, I'm not a great version of myself at the moment. Would you be free to do a session? And she said, yes, of course. So we took 90 minutes on Zoom midweek to get into tapping. So if you don't know what tapping is, right, and I didn't really know what tapping is. I've seen people tap the side of their hand, the top of their head, their forehead, under their eye. But I didn't really understand what it was. It's known as acupuncture without needles.
Ooh, is it?
Yeah. So what you do is when you're tapping, you're talking about how you're feeling. And this releases the negative emotion and makes us feel lighter. So for instance, I would have been saying with Sarah, I would have been tapping saying, I've been feeling really low. Tapping, I've been working very hard. Stress has been running my life. But I realize this now, and I'm going to do something about it so that when I heal, I'll be a much better version of myself. So it was, I loved it. I absolutely loved it because it was part therapy and part kind of practical. She works with women to release birth trauma, ancestral trauma, limiting beliefs, and deep emotional blocks to allow joy, love, and abundance to flow in your life. So I was really interested in the ancestral trauma. And so what Sarah explained to me was many of us have inherited or absorbed our parents' or grandparents' emotions and belief systems, and we've no idea. So for instance, I talked to her about my mum, and my granny lost 3 sons at birth or in the first year of their life. And then she had 3 daughters. So Sarah talked about the impact of the grief that would have been my grandmother's, that she may have passed down to my mum, and which may then have been passed down to me. Or my dad, when my dad was born, his mum went into hospital. I think she had TB, and she went into hospital for the first 18 months of his life. So my dad was brought on someone's hip, probably on his aunt's or neighbor's hips, to outside the hospital to wave up at his mum for the first.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
So the abandonment and the rejection that he would have felt in that distance between him and his mum, he would have carried. And we got to a point in the conversation with me where I said to her, my fear of rejection has always been so enormous, like huge, so overwhelming at times. And she said to me, and this just blew me away, she was like, Claire, have you ever considered the possibility that that deep-rooted fear of rejection is not yours? It's something you've inherited from your father. All of us as people are carrying stuff, whether it's our own or it's something we've inherited. And what we do then is we tap and we say, I've experienced rejection. I've always worried about being rejected by people, friends, employers, fellas.
Oh God.
And then you work your way around in a circle through all the tapping points where until you get to the point where you say, I'm ready to give that sense of rejection away. It's not mine. I'm no longer going to let it rule my life.
Even just acknowledging that and saying it out loud has to be the start of setting yourself free.
Massively.
Did you have any like encounters with the public this week? These are my favourite stories.
Do you know what? I learned a little lesson this week, actually.
Ooh, tell us.
I went into my, so you know, like my best pals in life these days are local businessmen.
No.
Like the time, like just for the nature of the way I'm living my life at the moment, they're the people I have conversations with most. That's going to change.
They're your people.
They're my people.
They're your people because you did business studies. They're your tribe.
You never know. I could have a corner shop before the end of the year. You never know. But one of the things I learned this week was I was in with me dry cleaner and...
Oh my God, because that's a priority for you this week. Jesus.
I love my clothes and I love to treat them really... Like I am the kind of person who comes home from holidays, right? Or flies to Ireland and I'll walk in the door. My mum and dad will open the door. My dad will bring my case up the stairs like the gent that he is. And straight away, I'll rip open the case and I'll start hanging the stuff up. Like I treat my clothes with real. My sister doesn't give a monkey's. Absolute disdain. Who cares? Whatever. Whereas I'd be like, excuse me, sorry, can you get a hanger there? Thank you very much. You just need to hang that. Okay, yeah, great. So obviously I give my dry cleaner plenty of business. And I was chatting to him. I was like, oh, I haven't been up. He was like, I haven't seen you for a while. Where have you been? I was like, I've been under the weather. So then we were talking about my illness and he was saying his brother-in-law had a very serious UTI as well and had to have a catheter put in. And so we were comparing war stories. And I said to him, oh, look, I know I'm on my way back, but it's thanks to people like the pharmacist across the way in that chemist was so kind to me that it really just helped. And he goes, oh, no, you didn't go in there, did you? Oh, he's always trying to upsell people. And I was like, what? Ah, yeah, he's known for upselling people. So then I just finished up with my dry cleaner and I walked home, Georgie, and I was thinking to myself, I can't believe it. Wild Alaskan Omega 3 and Vitamin D and OptiBac, Everyday Max Trusted Friendly Bacteria. He upsold me. I can't believe it. And then I thought to myself, hang on. That's not my experience. That's somebody else's experience. That's popular opinion, but it doesn't fit my experience. Both of those medicines and remedies that he gave me, I'm taking and I feel great for them. So I'm not going to let somebody else's opinion of somebody colour my view of him.
Yes.
So I just thought that was a really important lesson for me this week. You know, and we do it all the time. Like we're always going, oh, she heard this about her. You heard that about him. Or, you know, he's this.
Yes.
Don't let that stuff in. It's poison.
You should start a chamber of commerce in your area. I just like, sometimes I just like, I just shove the tissue up my two nostrils and just leave it there.
That's the kind of picture I want to see you posting on Instagram.
Okay, it's a deal. Okay, what's the plan for the week?
So excitingly, so we are confusingly recording this before your show. Mm-hmm. But I am really looking forward to this week hearing the post-match analysis on the National Concert Hall.
I know, I'm so excited.
Oh, I can't wait to hear all about it. And obviously I have a vested interest in it because you and I recorded something really exciting. And I'm looking forward to talking about it next week.
I'm taking Tuesday, the day that this podcast is out, off.
Wow, that's rare.
I'm going to drop you at school and I'm going to come back and I'm going to watch something on TV for the day.
Oh my God. Having done that for the last pretty much 2 weeks, do it. Put your phone away. Mm-hmm. Get on your comfortable clothes and just surrender to the couch and the, you know, what insert program here. What are you going to watch?
We are watching We Worked.
Where can I get that?
Apple.
Okay.
Apple TV. It's fab.
Is that all about the guy? Is Anne Hathaway in that?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It's brilliant. We've watched one episode of it. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to watch that all day and get a pizza.
Oh, my God. You're going to live your Solan sister dreams.
Yes. So I'm so excited.
Great. Well, look, I'll talk to you next week, babes. Okay. It was a great episode. Thanks very much for coming. Bye.